You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up for you on the show today. We're going to talk about data centers, protests continuing in Wisconsin, grassroots efforts kind of popping up in little communities all across the state. So we're going to talk about data centers after the 9:30 news. Also, beach access and what's public, and do you get to own sand?
Or we all learned how to share as kids. Why don't we still do that as adults?
It's an interesting story out of today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is an ongoing case related to a property owner in Shorewood on Lake Michigan. Doesn't want people walking on his beach. It's my beach.
All those ingredients you just said, beach house, Lake Michigan, Shorewood, and you're telling me he wants the unwashed off his property?
Get off my sand.
Yeah, exactly.
Get off my sand. Yeah. In hour number two, hopefully Darren Von Ruden is going to be joining us. Head of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. We're trying to just confirm that he's going to be joining us. It's the first Wednesday of the month. That's normally when he joins us for a hit.
Yeah, it's so also very cold and things may have gone.
Well, he's got cows.
Yeah,
we got cows.
To quote one of the greatest films ever, Twister, cows. We got cows.
We got cows. We got cows.
Another cow. I think it's the same cow.
Pretty much the same cow. So hopefully we'll connect with Darren Von Ruden in hour number two for Audio Sorbet today, the last half an hour of the show, where we lighten it up and talk about non-news things.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about strangers you meet.
Oh.
This relates to a personal story.
Jane's going to get personal and she'll probably cry.
Yeah, probably. Strangers you meet and what a little difference that can make.
Absolutely.
I end the show the same way every day, hoping people find a little joy. This is one way to do it.
Darn right.
Nice little tiny thing. So stick around for that, and then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today, Raccoons Rocky Night edition.
Oh, geez, yeah. Yes. There's first time I've ever felt bad for a raccoon in
I
my
know.
Life.
There's photos.
Yeah.
You feel for the little raccoon.
What am I looking at right now? Oh, we're going to talk about that later, though.
We'll talk about that later.
I'm sorry. I'm teasing that. There's going to be a visual component to this show that makes you want to get on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be called Twitter. We still call it a Twitter in this house. But there'll be a visual component that you'll want to tune in for during Audio Sorbet at 10:35. So that's called a tease.
That is a tease.
Boom.
This goes back a long, 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 long time in my broadcasting history.
Back when they invented radio.
Back when we still had turntables.
What?
Yes.
I don't...
Turntables and reel-to-reels.
Back in my day, you just had the band come in and play.
Actually.
Can I tell you a really quick story about childhood? When I was very little, like 20, 22 years old. When I was very little, I thought that the band came in and played on the radio.
But they did.
No.
In the early days of radio.
But we're talking about the 80s. Early 80s. I thought, like, the groups came in, they performed, and then they left. And then the other group came in. Yeah. So really, if I would have just grown up with that kind of wide-eyed naivete, I'd probably be scammed for a lot of money at this point.
Possibly.
Yeah, but that was, I can distinctly remember being in the basement going, how do they fit all those musicians in that room?
It's magic.
Yeah.
That is the magic of radio, Greg. See, and back in the day, you couldn't see in the studio because there were no cameras everywhere like we have now. Yeah. So you could actually believe that. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's fabulous. It is day three of our grown-up gift list multi-state text to win contest with a daily prize, $200 in cash up for grabs, along with three grand prizes. Brand new snowblower, stainless steel cookware set, portable air conditioner. But In order to take part, you have to have the keyword. So here's what you do. Grab your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Open it up to the Civic Media app.
Oh, hey, what do I do next, Jane?
Then you pick your favorite station, WAUK, for example.
Okay.
And text in the word prize.
Oh, we weren't going to do the, okay.
P-R-I-Z-E.
Boom.
Prize is the word. You have until 10 o'clock this morning to text in the word prize, P-R-I-Z-E. That is going to get you in the running for that $200 in cash and for one of the three grand prizes. Mm-hmm. So don't wait. Text in the word prize, P-R-I-Z-E. Your next chance coming up with Tom Hartman in the 11 o'clock and then the 1 o'clock hours. 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
I'm losing my ability to speak.
Marriage.
This is
marriage is what brings us together today. What time's the wedding? 1 o'clock.
Good thing my last day is next Friday. prize is the word. P-R-I-Z-E. Prize. Good luck. And it's a lot of fun. Like I said, we love to watch everybody's entries coming in. Nan from Brookfield and Kevin from Omro and Julianne in Cronenwetter. Cronenwetter.
I feel like I
gotta look that up.
Cronenwetter. Julianne, how do you pronounce? Is it Cronenwetter? 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 I just want to pronounce that correct. I've never heard of it. If you're listening, text us and let us know. But you can text us the same way you're doing it right now on the Civic Media app. Tim in Waukesha, Jim in Appleton. Look at all these coming through.
It's fabulous.
Fabulous.
Teresa in Eau Claire. Prize is the word. P-R-I-Z-E. Good luck. We will remind you. Mm-hmm. Again, you have until 10 o'clock this morning to enter. Wanted to start off with this. We talked about this just a couple of weeks ago. This got snuck in to the bill to reopen the government. You know how they love to sneak in little things without telling anybody about it.
Financing planes and more tax cuts.
Yeah.
And suing the government for perceived ills of that was just matters of due process and justice. You know, those small things that really help the people.
Right. So one of the measures that they snuck in to this bill in order to reopen the government essentially kills the hemp industry.
Yes.
Which took people involved in said industry in Wisconsin by surprise.
Correct.
Not in a good way. So now this from WPR, Rich Creamer has the byline. New bipartisan bill would regulate intoxicating hemp products in Wisconsin. Industry activist says while the legislation isn't perfect, it would shield Wisconsin hemp farmers and retailers from this federal ban. Although we know there is an effort on the state level as well.
Yes.
With one Republican lawmaker wanting to do the same thing.
Yes.
But at least we're seeing something this right now.
Well, and it's passed. It's passed in the federal level, and it just doesn't make sense. Like,
well, it's about protecting the children, Greg.
Yeah, you know,
and certainly I don't want THC products landing in the hands of kids. I don't want tobacco products landing in the hands of kids.
I don't want that either, but. You know, as I just mentioned, I grew up in the 80s. In the 80s, a very anti-drug commercial time.
Just say no.
I mean, I literally thought that if you, I want to be funny about this, but I thought based on TV and movies and just the commercials, if I looked at cocaine, my life was destroyed. Is cocaine good? No, it's not. But there's a better conversation to have. And you're older than I am. And people were anti-drug. You came up in the beginning of the war on drugs. And I don't know if you can remember, because there's so much pot smoke. How did that go? Did kids just say, you know, guys, you're right. We shouldn't do this. The kids said no. The kids couldn't get it. There was no access for young people to get these illicit drugs. So it was fine. But then all of a sudden these laws came through and said we can have a little bit of hemp, and it all went downhill.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
We always found ways.
Yeah.
We found ways to get booze. We found ways to get weed.
Mm-hmm.
We just did. And again, I'm not saying that I want open access to THC products, no matter how old you are.
Yeah,
but I
nobody
do think,
is saying that.
I think this is a viable industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's all over the state now.
Yes.
Employing people.
Paying taxes.
Paying taxes. And so rather than just come out and kill them all, let's do some regulating. That's what this is about. So this legislation introduced by State Senator Patrick Teston, Republican from Stevens Point, co-sponsored by 5 Republicans and 4 Democrats in the Assembly. This measure would prohibit anyone under 21 from buying hemp products with variants of THC.
There you go.
This would also require hemp growers get their crops tested by independent labs and mandate that hemp products be sold in child-resistant packaging because knives and scissors don't exist.
Okay.
Jay Seltofer, longtime advocate for marijuana legalization in Wisconsin, tells WPR the bill is based on concerns about how Wisconsin farmers would be affected by this ban on hemp, which was slipped into that short-term funding bill that they passed in November. He says they're really trying to protect us from the federal ban and create a program for hemp. While the Wisconsin measure does not mention the federal ban, by creating a state regulatory program, this could shield growers, distributors, and retailers.
And it's part of a conversation that we've been having for months now. And I mean, honestly, we've been having for years now when you really think about it. But you should give us a call, 855-752-4842. You've called before, we know, but just another, you know, let us know if these products do good for you. Because because here's my thought about it, is that we tried prohibition in this country once in for 13 years, and it went... it was a spectacular failure.
It was.
On so many fronts.
On numerous levels, yes.
And if you are about protecting the kids, great. Make the laws the same as the laws for cigarettes and alcohol and getting a driver's license. You put regulations on them. Okay, great. We've protected the children. They are still going to access it because you can always access these things you can't get that you don't want them to have. That's always going to happen. But if you really want to protect the children, then we need to have those difficult discussions about these products and say, and you know, under making them understand that the what their effects can be on children. And I just feel like this, you know, I can't remember his name right now. It was kind of a hard name to pronounce, but he is the state rep out by where you grow up,
Washington County.
Yeah. And his whole thing just sounded like the 80s again. Well, we're protecting the kids and kids got to say no. Yeah, they do. Fine. That's great. But we are punishing everybody in service of children when there are already laws on the books that say they can't act. A 12-year-old can't walk into Kelly's Greens in Wauwatosa.
No.
No.
And buy something?
Exactly.
No.
That's not how that works.
Exactly.
And PJ on the live stream brings up something very, very, very important, is the fact that we're talking about this and how important keeping kids from drugs is. We're letting We just pardoned a guy who took part in hundreds of millions of dollars in cocaine trafficking.
Different thing, though.
How much do we care about drugs, Jane?
Well, and actually, we could call our local politician.
We should.
And ask him about that pardon that President Trump just gave that guy from Honduras. Yeah, that would be an interesting question.
And when you're on the line, tell him you want to protect the hemp business here in Wisconsin.
You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right before the break, we were talking about an article in today's Wisconsin Public Radio talking about some statewide bipartisan legislation that would regulate hemp products in Wisconsin. This after, those sneaky little guys snuck this measure into the bill to reopen the government that essentially kills the hemp industry. And if you use hemp products, we would love to hear from you again at 855-752-4842. 4842. Brett from Brown Deer texted in, just legalize marijuana and sell it in a dispensary. It's no different than a liquor store. I am sick of driving to Illinois once a month and giving them all my tax dollars. And I've said this before. I've gone to dispensaries in Illinois. Mm-hmm. It's full of Wisconsin plates.
My friends go to dispensaries. Wink. I think, though, that, you know, that also brings up a point, too, when we talk about dispensaries, legal marijuana in this state, which, by the way, if you don't already know, we are surrounded by states that have at least medical.
Even Iowa.
Iowa.
Even Iowa.
People.
Yeah.
Iowa. But you look at this. This is good legislation, I believe, that's going to protect the businesses. I think it puts a little too much on the businesses as far as getting, like...
Well, this whole independent lab testing, that's another fee now that you're going to put on these small businesses, mm-hmm. along with the child-proof packaging.
Which, yeah, Also, how are you going to... Are they going to have agents that are going to go to stores and check the packaging? I don't know. But what gives me pause and a little bit of nervousness is the fact that these all have to come across the desk of Robin Voss, who has been inconsistent on this topic. He has never really stood in the way of the hemp thing. I've never heard him say an opinion on what currently is allowed, but he has fumbled the ball more than one time on legal marijuana. So this measure this bipartisan measure to protect the hemp industry, I don't know how he will handle it, especially coming up with the fact that they are almost out for the year.
Right.
And next year
is there a long vacation?
Is there 8-week work year?
Yeah.
Again, they will work 2 months and be off for 10. So I don't know how important this will be. Will the other one that's going to codify the language from the federal going to go through? Like, that's the thing we need to be on the lookout for, because that hemp measure has passed federally. And by the way, this all goes back. It really frustrates me, but I'm going to keep it nice. The whole thing about the government shutdown was that the CR, the continuing resolution, which, by the way, that's the thing. It wasn't, they didn't solve anything.
No.
The continuing resolution will be right back here in two months. It was said, oh, this is clean.
No.
It had all sorts of little gifts. Christmas ornaments
hidden in there. Yep, they snuck all kinds of stuff in there. It's such,
they lied.
By the way, just to clarify, Julianne texted in, listening on WXCO, it's pronounced Kronenwetter.
Kronenwetter.
Kronenwetter. I looked it up. It is south of Wausau.
Mm.
So look at, see, another thing we learned.
Another thing we've learned.
We love that.
I love learning.
Absolutely. We love that stuff. By the way, we are in the midst of day three of our multi-state text to win grown-up gift list contest, up for grabs, $200 in cash every day.
Mm-hmm.
So for the rest of this week and all through next week, $200 in cash. You will also be entered for one of three grand prizes: brand new snowblower, a stainless steel cookware set, or a portable air conditioner. But you cannot win if you do not enter. So here's what you do. Grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, pick your favorite station, could be WISS, could be us, WAUK. Text in the word prize, PRIZE. Prize is this hour's keyword. You have until 10 o'clock to text that in via the Civic Media app to get in the running for not just that $200, but for all the grand prizes. So text in the word prize, not pride. Dave, listening in Madison.
Someone got called out.
Spelling counts. Text in the word prize, PRIZE, and then you will be in the running as well. Don't forget to get it right. PRIZE is the word. Tom Hartman will have your next chance in the 11 o'clock and the 1 o'clock hours, then John and Gordy, I believe, in the 3 o'clock hour, and Pete Schwaba then at 5 p.m.
Also, you know what would be fun? You can use that Civic Media app to leave us a voice note, or you can text us too. I'd love to know, if you win the $200, what are you going to spend it on? Is it going to be gifts? Is it going to be yourself? Is it going to be bills? Is it going to be stocked away for savings? What would you spend with that $200 when you text in the word prize, P-R-I-Z-E?
Because, I'd love to know that.
You know, we talk about living in hard times, tightening belts, budgets are being looked at again. What are you going to use the money for if you win? And it's okay to say if you want to use it for, it's okay to say if you want to take a trip to Illinois to visit a local business that sells products that you can't get here. But I would love to know what you'd use the money for. Tell us throughout the show.
Absolutely. And keep those entries coming in, like Mike from Oshkosh and Ron in Oregon and Tammy in Eau Claire. A text in the word prize, P-R-I-Z-E. That is this hour's keyword. You have until 10 o'clock. Again, up for grabs, $200.
Anytime I see someone from New London, because I think Cassandra's from New London, we have Peter from New London. If you see my Uncle Charlie, Charlie Bach, tell him I say hi. Tell him Greg says, my uncle lives up there.
Oh,
he's,
yes.
He's a good man, and he lives in New London, and I haven't seen him in a while. So if you see him, Charlie, you can't miss him. He's
Uncle Charlie.
A vibrant fella. Tell him I say hi.
Say hello to Uncle Charlie.
Yeah, say hi.
For us.
Exactly.
We have news coming up next. And then when we return, data centers in Wisconsin getting some pushback now across the state. We will talk about that on the way. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. Heck, you can even pick us up around the globe.
Whoa.
On the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up next hour at this time, a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news, talk about lighter things. So we can all relax just a little bit. We're going to talk about the strangers you meet and how that can make a difference in your life.
I think this is great. And we want to hear from you.
Yep.
We want to hear from you about the people you've connected with.
Even just for a moment, two minutes.
Yeah.
And a difference that made in your life. The people you meet, the strangers you meet. That's coming up after the 10:30 news. Stick around for that. Wanted to start off with this. We did talk about this, too, a couple of weeks ago. From Wisconsin Public Radio, Evan Casey has the byline, Dairyland, not Data Land. Wisconsinites continue protesting data center projects. Supporters of the projects say they will lead to positive economic impact. In Milwaukee on Tuesday, a group of business leaders gathered to talk about the economic opportunities of data centers. Not everybody excited about this. There was a small group of protesters who were gathered outside of this meeting at Discovery World to push back against these data centers. This is a big, big thing. And we're seeing these pop up all over the state now.
And we're seeing people raise their voices and be heard from and be, you know, having positive, having results. I'm not going to say positive or negative. It has results. When we stand up and we say something and we work together, especially in a situation like this where I feel like can cross party lines.
Absolutely. Because, I think so, too.
Because we're talking about water access. We're talking about land usage. We're talking about conservation. We're talking
about utility prices,
especially. And I think what they did was they thought they were just going to come on in and do this thing because they'll make it seem so great and there'll be jobs. And I think to a certain extent, and I don't appreciate this because it's how business people work, but they look at Wisconsin, they say, oh, a bunch of yokels. They won't know the difference. They won't care. They'll take our money and blah, 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 and we won't have to tell them anything. Sorry, that's me. That's me being hyper-protective of our state. But I do think to a certain extent, people have a vision of Wisconsin. They see us as a bunch of podunk farmers who don't know better. And that's not the case.
That we're easily taken advantage of.
We're duped.
Well, I do think that there was this assumption that you can slide these things in and nobody's going to notice. And they're noticing.
Yep.
And these are, at least from what I am seeing, these do look like grassroots protests. There were seven communities where they had protests on Monday and Tuesday, part of an organized day of action to bring attention to negative impacts of these data centers. One person, Erica Stibe, is with the Milwaukee branch of the Party for Socialism and Liberation, which helped organize the protests. She said, we're here because we're raising the call that people don't want these data centers in Wisconsin towns. They don't belong here. But again, this industry is not going to slow down.
No.
Our need for these data centers, unless we all get off our phones, and we're not going to do that.
No, not at all.
The need for these is going to increase.
Yeah.
Trisha Brown, the executive director of the Wisconsin Data Center Coalition, says Wisconsin's manufacturing sector will reap the benefits of data centers. She thinks Wisconsin businesses like security companies, even fencing companies, would be positively impacted.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yes.
This is where I think Wisconsin has the chance to benefit because of the concentration we have of manufacturers ripe for this kind of opportunity and ways to diversify.
Again, you can sell it as positive for the community, but when you're specifically, like, honestly confessing that it's going to be positive for few, not even communities, but few businesses. Yeah. Fence makers. Cool. They'll get contracts. They'll make fences for these properties. What after that? How is that going to affect my water bill? How is that going to affect my electric bill? What is that going to do for pollution? What is that going to do for jobs? Because data centers do not need thousands of people. They generally need between a few dozen to maybe a couple hundred, depending on the work. And that might be skilled labor.
Well, and it's different. Obviously, building the facilities mm-hmm. is going to take a lot more bodies yeah. until you can get them built and up and running. But you're right. From my understanding, once these data centers are built, they don't need a huge workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these places are going for AI processes anyway.
They want to integrate. I mean, we're seeing that all over.
They want to get rid of bodies.
Yeah. And let's then bring up once it's, if it's passed, it's built, it's running, the fences have fenced, the construction have constructioned, everyone has made their money, mainly the bosses have made their money, not the guy installing the fence, it's the people who own the companies making that money. So it's even smaller group. You got the businesses and then a smaller group. But then the question is, what is the long-term value for those businesses? What kind of tax breaks and tax abatements will they get for being on that land? Because we saw this with Foxconn, and just was in the news last week too. They signed a new deal where they got even about $100 million in tax breaks. They do have to do a certain amount of hiring to get these, but we have to ask the question, what do these companies get in the way of tax breaks and other deals that will affect us as taxpayers? Because when they're not paying, someone else has to pay the bill, and it's usually me and you.
Yeah, somebody's going to pick up the cost for it. Yep. And I did see an article last week that referenced, this is a state-by-state issue,
mm-hmm.
not every state is telling folks about how much state money is going to these data centers. Mm-hmm. They're not required to disclose how much state money is going to these data centers. That's not the case in Wisconsin.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness is right. But in many other instances, they're not even required to tell their constituents how much aid they're giving them, which seems wrong.
And if you're seeing this around the state, if you're living in areas that are data centers are being proposed, or you've been to meetings, or just your thoughts on this, because data centers are here and they're not going anywhere. And I'm not speaking for Jane or for Calvin or for anybody. I'm not against data centers. I'm not against business expansion, but there has to be a long-term value to the taxpayers and the communities that will inhabit these, or the communities who will host these places, to use some tech parlance. But what do we get out of it? They shouldn't be getting massive tax breaks. How about the people get some good tax breaks, some good tax relief? And these companies generally can afford it.
Well, and again, if we're going to talk about water usage
mm-hmm.
and the price of water going up,
yep.
utilities going up
yep.
to power these data centers, if they are the ones who are using more, shouldn't they be required to pay more? As opposed to just shoving it all off onto the taxpayers? It does bring jobs. This one, Caitlin Monahan, Senior Director of Public Policy at North America for Vantage Data Centers, said the facility in Port Washington that they're developing, it would require 1,000 people to work at the data center campus, which in a small city is not a small thing.
That's great.
That is not a small thing.
And that's the thing is, you know, I'm going to use the Foxconn renewal deal that was in the news. We talked about it last week, and I will say the positive, if it comes through, if the company can commit to doing certain things, whether it's a closed water system, whether it's using the least amount of resources possible, or somehow just being less of a burden on our bills and or saying we will hire X amount of jobs in the community, then okay, we talk. Again, not against data centers, not against businesses, just saying it can't just be another instance where a business comes in and says, we want to do this. And our local and state and sometimes federal lawmakers are like, yeah, yeah, business.
Give them whatever they want.
Give business daddy what he'd like.
Yeah.
Because we always get screwed in the end.
We're talking about data centers, the growing data centers, and some of the growing pushback, at least here in Wisconsin, that we're seeing in some of these smaller communities. And like you said, Greg, I don't think that anybody's going to say no to jobs, a thousand jobs coming into a smaller community like Port Washington. But for me, the issue is transparency and all of the things that it feels like some of these companies are hiding.
Yeah. We live in a day and age now where businesses from, you know, from not small, but like medium to large and to mega kind of write their own rules, and lawmakers roll out the red carpet and then tell us why we shouldn't be asking questions.
Or why you should be grateful.
Or even why you should be grateful. Don't worry. We have it covered.
Right.
That's not how you represent the people. That's not the proper voice of the people. As I will, you know, Chris Kapinga has said, he is a voice of the people. You need to then echo our concerns and protect us. And it really comes down for me also, I agree, transparency. Just tell us what's going on, man.
Exactly.
Seriously. And if it's not good, then stand up and say, we don't want this, or we want a better deal. We know you can do this. And I would love to see a data center come into a community and revitalize a neighborhood, not a neighborhood, but like a whole area, county that needs it. Because we went to Northwoods this summer, and
they're struggling. These small towns are struggling.
It is gorgeous. It is picturesque. It's the place where you want to live. But then you hear from the people and they say, our communities are dying because manufacturing industry left. So if we can make partnerships with these businesses, then we should do it. And I'm going to challenge our listeners right now, especially if the ones who disagree with us, do you agree with this? Because I feel like this is something on which we all can agree, because this is about protecting our state and our people, our resources. I feel like this is something where we can say, yeah, I didn't vote for Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, but I do think this is important because I don't want to pay more in my utility bills.
Or have our water regulated. Yeah.
I'm afraid that what happens is when these things go on, they say pro business and it's someone else's fault when the bill comes due. And I think that's the wrong approach. We got to come together and say, hey, man. Transparency. Tell us what's going on.
Well, exactly. It's not about no development ever and no progress ever.
Yeah,
but it's like,
ridiculous.
Let's be realistic and open about the ramifications from these decisions. Again, if I do A, what is B? And then what is C and what is D? What is coming down the road?
Yeah.
And that's what I think sometimes is missing from our lawmakers who do not look at long-term consequences.
I agree. And if these are things that do concern you, myvote.wi.gov.
Can make some phone calls.
Call your reps. Visit your rep if you're near. Write them a letter. Tell them what you're looking for out of them as a lawmaker, what you're looking for out of this topic, and make your voice heard. I mean, we are seeing more and more elections going towards the way of democracy, of people who want to stand up for democracy. We have an election coming up next year in this state. People are running who want to take it seriously that we must be heard as a people, not the corporations, and not relying on gerrymandered maps to not do their work. Now's the time more than ever for us to stand up and make
get involved.
Get involved.
You bet. By the way,
yeah.
You still have 11-ish. 12-ish minutes.
Esque.
12-esque minutes.
Yeah.
To text in the word prize, P-R-I-Z-E. We are in day 3 of our multi-state text to win grown-up gift list contest. $200 in cash up for grabs every day and 3 grand prizes. You have until 10 o'clock to text in the word via the Civic Media app. Prize, P-R-I-Z-E. And then you're in the running for all those prizes. Spelling counts.
Spelling counts.
Spelling counts. P-R-I-Z-E. When we return, get off my sand. That's all on the way. You're listening to Mad Mayor on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842 or join us on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After 10 o'clock, hopefully Darren Von Ruden will be here. Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to talk about the Nodfather and some Giannis rumors.
Oh, boy.
Big rumors swirling about Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Did you hear this on certain Twitter accounts that might be jokes?
No.
Okay.
This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Okay. All right.
So
they
are legit, and I don't think they fell for... I did fall for that.
You did.
One thing yesterday. Calvin corrected me. Our resident young person set me straight. I need him as my interpreter.
Yeah.
For Twitter speak.
Your Gen Z whisperer.
Yes, my Gen Z whisperer is Calvin. So that's coming up after 10 o'clock. Don't forget about, 7-ish minutes left to text in the word prize, P-R-I-Z-E, prize. It is our state, multi-state text win grown-up gift list contest. This is day number 3. We're going through all next week. Text in the word prize via the Civic Media app only.
Yes.
Only.
Only.
Don't email us. Don't put it on the live stream.
Don't call in.
Don't call in. You have to use the Civic Media app, which is?
Absolutely free.
Text in the word prize, P-R-I-Z-E. And you're in the running again for that $200 in cash every day. And then one of 3 fabulous grand prizes, including a snowblower. That's going to come in handy.
And that's actually something we asked the question before, what you would do with the money if you got the $200. Would you use it for yourself? Would you use it for gifts? Pay down some bills? And Brett from Brown Deer, our fabulous friend Brett, said, we really need a snowblower. It's the only thing I don't have yet. I made the investment last year, and I'm not kidding you. It was a little expensive, but I knew it was worth it. And it already this year alone.
Yeah.
Has been
it's paid
worth
for
it.
Itself.
He also said he would take another trip to the dispensary with the $200 and $140 goes to the wife. She runs the family finances. Oh, I see. Oh, see a little bit of
a little splurge,
a little savings. Go. I like that. That's
what works.
You make $12, you put 7 away.
Works for me. Prize.
Prize.
Is the word P-R-I-Z-E. We didn't have a lot of time to talk about this, but I think it's fascinating. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Caitlin Luby and Maya Pandy have the byline. Where can the public walk along Lake Michigan? Shorewood case may settle the issue. So there is this fight going on. Paul Florsheim lives in Shorewood. Mm-hmm. He has been walking along the lake for years.
Mm-hmm.
In July, he was walking his dogs along the shoreline, going north along the beach.
Yeah.
Below homes on North Lake Drive.
Yeah.
That overlook the beach.
Yes.
They're not, I mean, they're kind of on a little cliff.
There's a separation between.
There's a separation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he said he's walked this route for decades.
Yeah.
During that walk, property owner Danielle DeMagala flagged him down and accused him of trespassing. Called police. And Florsheim, the guy who'd been walking this way, got issued a $313 ticket. So now he's fighting that. He says Wisconsin's public trust doctrine applies to navigable waters, which allow the public to walk on the land between the water's edge and what is known as the ordinary high water mark, which from what I have read seems to be where the vegetation starts.
I am not a maritime lawyer. I don't even know if I'm maritime lawyer adjacent. But we talked about this before the show, and my first thought was somewhere in your mortgage agreement, it's going to state the size of the property and what's included, which I, from what I understand, a certain part of the sky you own too, like just above a certain part of your house. It's like your sky.
Oh.
But if that is stated and you have paid for that, then yes, it is your land. Then there should be some sort of sign, something there that says it, but you can't just arbitrarily go out. And honestly, I'm really surprised the cops bit into this and didn't just say, it's going to literally take him 14 seconds to cross what is, quote, your land.
Your strip of sand.
And I think the fact that this is being taken seriously is introducing a whole new level of greed and pettiness.
Well, in the homeowner's defense, I will say, and this is in this article, he had complained to Shorewood Police at least 50 times over the summer about people sitting on his porch.
Well, that's a
You shouldn't be sitting on his porch, you guys. You're walking on the beach. You don't go sit on someone's porch. You don't go walk on their property. You're walking along the beach. That's one thing. He said, I've had people camping out in front of my house.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to, I might have to call BS on something that, like, first of all, 50 times, I don't believe that. If there's nothing done after 50 times of actual trespassing onto your property, then that's a problem for the municipality to work out. But if someone is just walking on the sand on the beach, not towards your house, not
past your house,
and even if they want to sit on the beach and look at the lake, that's not even a problem either. But you're talking about, like, them violating your property rights, then okay, then talk to the cops, talk to a lawyer. But this is a serious shouldn't be a thing, because it's going to start people down the road of, well, this is my
get off my sand.
Get off my sand. And they're going to build fences up to the water, which is ridiculous.
Which I would think is going to cause a whole bunch of environmental problems as well. Mm-hmm. If we have people who start doing that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. This will be an interesting case to follow up on. Don't go sit on other people's porches. And let people walk on the sand in front of your house.
Yeah.
There should be an easier way to fix this.
Oh my God.
We have news coming up next. Prize. You still got about a minute. PRIZE. If you haven't entered our multi-state text win grown-up gift list contest, prize. PRIZE. Tom Hartman will have the next word for you in the 11 o'clock hour. News is next. Stay here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.